I've only known Sanjeev for, well, officially 36 minutes as of this recording, but I've already found him to be an amazingly sharp guy, always willing to share what he's learned about entrepreneurship. There are some key things in this episode that every new entrepreneur needs to know about before they run out and build their thing. See, there's a reason why most businesses fail. It's because people largely keep making the same mistakes. It's part of the human condition, but there is a scientific way to go about building business that greatly increases your chances of success, and Sanjeev's got it figured out. Four things to keep in mind. Is the market confused about what it wants? Do you bring a unique differentiation to the table? Is there a large market for what you do? And do you have the team or capabilities yourself to make it happen? If the answer to all four is yes, then you're on the right track. And if not, now you have some areas for improvement. Yeah, science. You can build a business in a measurable way. After listening to Sanjeev's wisdom, check the show notes for how to learn more about him and his new book coming out first quarter 2021. Let's get going. You're in a really neat sector, and I always like to get in touch with people that just have big dreams, big aspirations, big goals, and like you said, find out about what they've got going on. So I know from the notes that I got before from your assistant that you're also an author, and we could talk about that. There's some things in there that I'm like, ooh, that's a good question. Why didn't I come up with that? And so we can ask some of those questions. But I guess just to kick things off, so tell me about your company and what does your company do?
Yeah, Michael, maybe there was some level of a, and I can do both. That's not the issue. I just want to operate in a space of clarity. So the whole, you know, I've been an entrepreneur all my life, of course, and worked in a company, so we can go through that. But what's the important thing that I wanted to try to bring, especially after reading the whole bunch of, you have 178 podcasts you have done today that you have put on the network. I'm sure there are more of them, you know.
There's more coming.
Well, coming, I'm sure it is. You're doing 3, 4, 5 a day, man. I'm absolutely amazed, you know. Yeah. And you have a machine there, and you just started like in July of 2019, and in a short period of time, you know, you have covered a lot of the stuff. So I'm quite proud of what you have done.
Thank you.
And so my thought process, well, we can talk about the business, or we can talk about the people, from getting in business and what are the challenges. You know, that's a different thing then, because what not to do in entrepreneurship is about lessons of, you know, I don't know whether you had a chance to go on the webs on my LinkedIn, and I can send you, but I do create 3-5 minute videos of particular subjects on the stuff as a part of the book writing and about to publish. And so my thought process was, it may be after having read through all most of the stuff that you have, it may be very interesting for these entrepreneurial minded people to, you know, to look back at their journey and see what is it that they could have done, you know, in a different way. And like you said, you know, in one of your interviews, you said, you know, you should have told me this 5 years ago rather than when I started waiting until I see the question here on what not to do. So we can talk about that particular thing, or we can talk about the business, you know, because we fund businesses, we do consolidations, you know, and all of that. And it's a broad category of things, or we can focus on the message in the, you know, what these people would love to hear and leave it at that and kind of focus on, it's your choice. I'm okay either way, my friend, you know?
Well, I think if I had my preference, I'd talk about just the journey of building a business, you know, because I think a lot of people out there, they still have this idea of, oh, entrepreneurship is just sexy and it's fun and it's easy. And it's like, no, a lot of times it's not easy. I mean, there's a lot in there, but when I first started, I didn't realize it was going to be near as hard as what it turned out being. And I'm still here, you know, I'm getting a lot of a lot of resilience and strength out of this, but you know, what's it been like for you? You know, what kinds of challenges have you overcome as you build your thing out?
Yeah. So is the interview on now?
Yeah, we're going. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know whether it was the preamble to your interview.
No, I rarely do any editing for these. I mean, I love just jumping into a conversation and just hit the button and just roll with it. So yeah, mic's on, man.
Yeah. So no problem. Thank you for that. So, you know, a couple of things that I feel from an entrepreneurship point of view, and you just talked about it in a very, you know, elegant way, saying, you know, everybody wants to be a damn entrepreneur because it's sexy. Mm. Well, see, entrepreneurship is not a profession, right? Entrepreneurship is, in reality, is merely a transaction. And it is that knowledge of that transaction, being in that transaction business. Every day you get up, you do something, you create entrepreneurship. It's a transaction between a potential customer and a product or a value that you have created. And that is, unless you have a customer, or unless you have a product or a value that is created, everything else is just talk, right? It is not being an entrepreneur. So entrepreneur is not necessarily, it can be a state of the mind because you hear all the wonderful things of life, the glamour of things, and people get fascinated. So there are two kinds of entrepreneurship in my book, in my thought process. One is called the grit entrepreneurship, which is the hard way that you have building the business and the challenges that you see and the monumental, you think you are going to move a molehill, but then you begin to realize you have to really move a mountain. You know? And the other side of that is really, you know, when you move that, what is the purpose of your entrepreneurship? Is the entrepreneurship to be sexy, or is it purpose of is to create wealth? And unless there is that dedicated purpose and passion about entrepreneurship to create wealth, there is nothing about entrepreneurship that is sexy. So it's one of the things that people must understand, that being in business wrongfully is defined by the word business. Business starts with the word B-U-S-I, which means busy. But being in business, being busy is not being in business. The purpose of every business is to make money. Mm-hmm. The purpose of every entrepreneur has to create wealth. So there is nothing sexy about that. It is that passion in that space. Now, you may say, well, there are social entrepreneurs. Yes, there are social entrepreneurs. But the social entrepreneurs cannot give what they don't have. So in order for them to give, they must make. And make means create value, create wealth. And that is why I think your answer to your question is, an entrepreneur must be passionate about creating wealth that is measured in some ways. And unless of that, he's just, you know, it's nothing sexy about the being into an. It's great to think, oh, you know, I'm talk and give great titles and stuff like that. But at the end, it is purely an engagement of a transaction between a potential customer that you valued, that you identified, that you created, that you serve, to something of a product or a service that you want to deliver that customer to. That's, to me, is entrepreneur. Unless you're ready for that, then you're ready for being an entrepreneur.
Okay. Nice. Well, I mean, that's an example of something that I really wish I could have heard that 5 years ago. You know, when I first started, it was like, hey, I can do this kind of work on my own and start my own thing and go find clients and stuff. And, you know, it wasn't, I guess the goal for me back then was not, hey, I'm going to build wealth, I'm going to make money. It's, hey, I'm going to do this on my own terms. I was focused on the activity. Now, of course, 5+ years later, it's a lot different. My mindset is more in line with what you're talking about. But back then, it's like, I tell people I fell into this. I didn't know that entrepreneurship was going to be quite like this, but I love the journey. I love the journey.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you know, you can say, and please don't take me the wrong way, Michael, we all say, you know, poison kills you doesn't have to be your experience, it can be your knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And hindsight is always 20/20, and we all make reasons for what that is. And I'll give you a fun example that you were, you know, all of us enjoy. You know, I was looking when I was beginning writing this book, and it's about journeys. I've built, you know, quite a bit of successful companies. I've managed challenging ones. So a part of what I have learned through the process, I built a company in 5 years from $1 million to $450 million, mm-hmm. you know, and created these, you know, values for shareholders and of course for myself and employees and stuff like that. But during the process, what I learned is, you know, could I have gone in that space and looked back in those 5 years, and could I have done things differently that could have even gotten me more value? Right. Now, once you say that, Michael, once you say that, could I have gotten more value, then you have a definition of success that is different. That means, did you fail because you didn't create the full value? Then every success looking back can be defined as a potential failure. Right? It, because you could say, hey, if I had done these things, I could have been better off than today. Does that mean you failed, or does that mean, you know, you are learning to create different possibilities in the future? And so entrepreneurship is really that journey. And if you know, if we, in order for all of us, and for me personally, of course, there are four things an entrepreneur must know in order to go through his journey. First is, in whatever you are doing, now these are not entrepreneurs that happen, entrepreneurs that want to be entrepreneurs, right? Two different things. And let's go back 5 years with you and me, you know, and fortunately for me, 5 years ago, I was an entrepreneur. So I had a little bit of the background and the burns on my back and the bows and the arrows on my back from before.
Right.
Right. So that was one of the reasons. But the thing is that when you get into that, you ask yourself a question. You know, is the market confused? If the market isn't confused, Michael, you're wasting time. That means you're going against established market prices. And without a confusion, your road to that journey is going to be very challenging. Now look at Tesla. Why did this? The market was confused. They didn't know whether they wanted to have a gas car or the hybrids or partial electrics or things like that. So it's important. The second that is critical is, do you bring together a unique differentiation? Now you take these elements and then you look back and you analyze what you have, your journey, and you'll get the answers. Right? Is your journey, whatever, was there a significant differentiation in whatever you offered? And the third thing, was there a large marketplace for it? Was it large, or were there only 10 listeners for you? Is it different when you have 10 listeners, or is it different when you have a million listeners? So is the market large for you? And then largely, do you have the team or the capabilities or the resources in order to implement what you have said? If these four things have answers to, then your journey forward-looking to the entrepreneurship has a very high probability of success. And looking back, it can help you identify the missing pieces that you pulled together. So that's my looking back in the journey. In my looking back 5 years ago, you asked me, now what could I have done different, right? What I could have done different then even is, I shouldn't have decided to move the mountains. I should have moved molehills.
Right.
And you know, but I had the momentum, I had the experience, so I thought that I would be able to move mountains. So that's my answer to your question about the past journey.
Okay. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. I mean, it's so many people go into this and they think, I'm just going to do some things, you know, and see what happens. But it's very possible to be strategic and, you know, apply, you know, I guess these four pillars, right? And see, like, all right, well, how viable is this? Everybody's got ideas, right? Some people decide to execute, but not everybody's going to be successful, and some businesses fail. And it's like, why? And more often than not, it's because of one of these four things, you know?
Yeah. So Yeah, Michael, you are bringing out the correct exact points. What in other words, I can say that once you have the sexy part of the entrepreneurship in your mind, the other element is what is the probability of success, right? So today, entrepreneurship is growing in leap and bounds, but the probability of success is stuck, or the needle of success is stuck at 2 to 3%. Why? The reason why, because most of the entrepreneurs are doing the same mistakes over and over again, right? That is why it is considered as a probability of success. But can we create, provide tools for entrepreneurship that will transform the art of entrepreneurship into a science of building wealth? And what are those tools? And knowing what not to do is one of the most valuable tools in being enabling that success. And so my purpose in everything I do with the business is A, understanding what is it going to take for me by the kinds of things that I shared with you, and more so about how to improve the probability of success. Because this is not a sandbox, my friend. You are playing with your most valuable asset of life, which is your time. Right? And yes, you may learn, but why not learn and create wealth than say, oh, I learned a lot? Because when you say, I learned a lot, all you say is, I have learned what not to do. And that is, I mean, our parents, since a young age, okay, don't play with fire, don't go there, don't do this. Why? Because they didn't want us to get burned. They didn't want us to do that. And the same philosophy we can transform into, create in entrepreneurship. And I think that we will can move the needle of success significantly, from, and then that will create the more value for entrepreneurs. And I think that's what I practice in every business that I do, I engage with, or I fund.
People have been building businesses for ever, for a long time. And there's a certain amount of mistakes that we can make. And, it's human nature to keep making the same mistakes again and again. But what I like about what you said is that it is possible to be scientific about building out your business. You don't have to just run out there and be like, I hope this works. You can literally put measurements, put metrics on this and have a higher chance of success. There's a phrase that you used just now, and I think going through my notes here, you mentioned something about this in your book, but you've got things that you know not to do. What not to do? What is it that entrepreneurs should not be doing if they want to build a successful business?
Yes. So that's all that is the book about. And fundamentally, I call it the tools in the what not to do toolbox.
Okay, all right.
And it's important to have toolbox because, the problem with every entrepreneurial venture is that you only look at the positive side of it, thinking that you have the energies and you will take the time to solve the negative sides. But that is a mirage, because if you can provide the ability to not step into ditches, walk over with planks, then you are not swimming up the Niagara. So my first sort of advice or sharing is, don't swim up the Niagara when you are doing entrepreneurship. Because the purpose of entrepreneurship is not to test whether you are an athlete or an iron triathlon person, but whether you can reach down the river in simple ways to achieve that success of creating wealth. Now, once you know that, then the tools of the toolbox, the tools in the toolbox, and what are they? I'll give you some examples, and we can then figure. I mean, there are lots of these toolboxes, and every element there is a toolbox, right? First is every entrepreneur understands that in creating entrepreneurship ventures, you need wealth, you need capital. Because that becomes the basis of your growth, that becomes the basis of your story. But entrepreneurs are in general the passionate people. So you must access capital that is not diluting your control, that is not putting your enterprises into somebody's hand, your destiny into somebody's hand. And I call it the golden rule of capital, because the man with the gold rules.
I've heard that one. I've heard that before.
Yeah. So the challenge is, what can you do intelligently that would create, you take the wealth, but not have the control gone? And how do you do that? Well, in short, there are three types of capital. One is emotional capital. I like Michael. I like his thing. I'm going to give him a check. I'm sure he will do something good with it. Mm-hmm. There's no logic. There's just emotion to it. That's a wonderful way to start business with your friends, with your families who trust you and things like that. And then there is the entire extreme of the other side, which I call as cutthroat capital. They don't give a crap about who you are. You are just a number to them. Mm-hmm. It's all numbers game. And venture capitalists, private equity people play in that space. But now, because there is so much wealth created in the world, there has come out to be a new kind of capital, which is called logical capital. These capital people are looking. These people are not looking to you to hit home runs. They are not looking for you to build unicorns. They want their money 2 to 4 times in, 36, 48 months or so. They don't want to intervene in your operation. Choosing the right source of capital at the right time of the business is a significant step in the right way to build a business. So that, to me, what not to do, don't choose the capital that will impede your progress or your control. And so that those are the kinds of elements that I have gone through it. And the other thing, of course, is most of the entrepreneurs like, oh, your podcast is going so well. Now I can do a medical podcast. But by the way, somebody called me, hey, can you do a religious podcast? Then you're in the religious podcast. So it's called, don't be a kid in the candy store.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Focus. And you did. You focused on business. You focused on value. That is why you are seeing such a momentum of success in what you are doing. And so I congratulate you on that. But it is because you are not a kid in the candy store. Most entrepreneurs tend to become because they think they've invented the new bread, and that mm-hmm. is not.
Right. Right. Yeah, that is something that over the years, I know a lot of my friends that are business owners, they've struggled with. And I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of fear in building out a business. We're humans, we're squishy humans. And we have emotions, and sometimes you're like, oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that other thing. And they end up spreading themselves so thin. And going back to what you said before about your most important resource that you have being time, when we spread ourselves so thin, we end up wasting a lot of that time. Sure. So that's something that here in the start of 2021, I definitely want to get a handle on that and handle also my emotional energy and my mental energy and reclaim a lot of time. You've got a lot of wisdom wrapped up in your mind. I hope that we can keep talking about this. I just realized we're almost out of time. Wish we had more time. We got more of that time, and then it's like, shoot, I wish this was an hour. but we'll get there. I know how to get in touch with you. So
yeah.
Nice.
So my purpose is that if we can give these tools in a very simple format of what not to do's by examples and also from other people's experiences, the book is just not about my experiences. I've interviewed people from various disciplines and learned and put there, and you can access their videos from the book in the stuff on what not to do. Mm-hmm. So that's a part of the process, is to give them not only tools in my journey, but tools from other people's journeys, so they can say, I can learn. And now, so creating that, and what you said is so perfect, Michael. What I have really done is created a periodic table of entrepreneurship. For particular elements, a particular thing is required, because every entrepreneurship is customized. It cannot be generalized. And so if you said what to do in entrepreneurship, you're generalizing the things, and that is not what's going to move the needle. So my lots of luck to you. I'm happy to talk to you. You have a great podcast, and I'd love to participate. But let's make more entrepreneurs, because once they have the tools, once more of them succeed, not only will they create wealth, but they will enable other great entrepreneurs to create wealth. Because today, what you hear is only about glamored entrepreneurs that succeed. But there is 99.9% are great entrepreneurs. Only 0.1% of the entrepreneurs are glamour entrepreneurs who don't have to worry about where the next paycheck is coming from, because they got so much money from the venture, their families. And that's what you hear about. But yes, we will build success and science in great entrepreneurship. So thank you for making this time to interview me.
Anytime, sir. Anytime. You know, I have a heart for helping more entrepreneurs be successful too. Not to the degree that you're doing. I mean, I haven't written a book about it or anything, but when people come to me with questions about, oh my goodness, how do I do this? It's like, all right, well, let's see what we can do to remove fear. Let's see what we can do to be more logical about things and really get our minds wrapped around the challenges instead of just thinking, oh, it's an elephant. Oh my goodness. Like, what am I going to do about this? Go after smaller stuff. Well, you use the term mountains and molehills, right? Don't go after mountains, go after molehills. You know,
they're easy to move, right? And you can easier to move. Nothing is easy, but it's still a molehill, but it's much easier than to move mountains.
Definitely. And you get that nice dopamine hit in your brain a lot quicker when you go after that. You're like, yes, you know, I can go for 2 weeks on a good small win. I don't have to move a mountain. Yeah. So, well, awesome, sir. Well, thank you for your time today. How would people find out about you, and how would they find out about your book? I assume you have like website or something.
Yeah.
Do you have? Okay.
So the book is about to be published in the end of this quarter. So we're just finalizing the book. It's called What Not to Do in Entrepreneurship. I have a website, and we have YouTube videos, a link, and I can send it to you through if you like, and everything, and people can go on the link, ask the questions, a part of it. But once the book is published, you can access directly through the website, ask whatever your challenging questions are, and I'll be happy to share all the expertise that we have gone through in building a lot of successful companies, but also managing challenging environments. You know?
I would love that. Yeah, go ahead and send me whatever information you have, and I would be happy to put that in the show notes for you.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, Michael.
Awesome.
That's a pleasure. Looking forward to seeing you in St. James soon.
I hope it does work. I mean, St. James is deceptively big for as out of the way it is. So we might be in that area. Shoot me an email, all right?
I mean, you know, you can come and have a drink at the St. James Winery with us, you know. So
that would be good.
The wines that we are creating on website are called Juju Wines. Mm-hmm. Good energy wines kind of things. That's, you know, and I look forward to sharing them with you when I see you.
So. Very cool, man. Well, God bless and take care and have a good rest of the day. All right.
You too. Thank you, Michael.
Take care. Bye-bye. Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast. Would I be a fit? Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share, and this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on, and also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.